Just to give you a few thoughts. I'm not going to attempt to do what the Queen's going to do this afternoon. You can all listen at your leisure to what she has to say. They have, of course, leaked half of what she's going to say. It's going to be a lot about Prince George. I wonder why. Jesus came into the world, highly unlikely it was at this time of year, but who cares? It's a good opportunity to remember that Jesus came into the world. But why do we get so excited about someone born over 2,000 years ago in a country that's a long, long, long way away? And that's why we need to understand more about who he is and the reasons why he came. Now we have, right at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, some words spoken to Joseph by the angel, telling him what was going to take place, and telling him that it was something that he didn't need to worry about, and quotes from the Old Testament, saying this is a fulfillment of what was in the Old Testament. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what the Bible's telling us is that the Lord Jesus Christ, born into the world, was not born as an ordinary baby. This child that was born into the world was God. Now, this is somewhat mind-boggling. It's impossible for us to get our heads around it. The fact that this child, while being a human being, was at the very same time God. Well, how can that possibly be? Don't ask me, I don't understand. I just know that's what happened, because that's what the Bible tells us. It is sad when you look around the world and there's lots of people getting up this morning and they're having a nice time and they're saying, isn't it wonderful? And they're even singing Christmas carols. But if you ask them, do you believe in God? They would say, well, no. Some of you know that I'm working on a reprint of a book at the moment by John Blanchard called Does God Believe in Atheists? And you think, how on earth can an atheist enjoy themselves at Christmas? Indeed, does the word enjoy actually mean anything to someone who is a real atheist? Since if atheism is true, then we are nothing more than machines. There is no real difference between us and the pews that you're sitting on. There's no real difference between us and the stones that you kick around as you're walking down the road. We're just collections of chemicals. So why on earth do people celebrate the birth of Christ when not only do they not believe anything, but if they really believe what they say they believe, they would have to say, I am no different from the trees and from the rocks and from the rivers and the sea and the sky. We're just collections of chemicals. Complex collections of chemicals, but that's all we are. But the Bible tells us that Christmas, if we think about what it's supposed to mean, is of great significance because there is a God who came into the world, whatever time of year it was, but we especially remember it at Christmas. God came into the world. His name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now this is something quite remarkable, and we think this is amazing. We think, don't understand this. Don't need to understand it. When you turned on the light this morning, if you turned on the light, did you think to yourself, now electricity is generated in the following way, and electricity is a flow of electrons, an electron is... No one really knows what an electron looks like. No one does know what an electron looks like. There's lots of things we don't know. It doesn't mean they're not real. It doesn't mean we don't believe in their existence and their function. Just because we don't understand something doesn't believe that it's not real, that it's not true. Here we have a situation of something we don't understand. How can God who is a spirit, God who is immense, God who is bigger than the universe, very clear sky last night, I don't know how many of you looked up at the sky, Orion was very clear, you could see his belt and his sword. Lovely sight, I was very tempted to go and get the camera and take a few photographs, and I got indoors and I thought, now it's nice and warm in here. All these things, we look at the sky and we think how far away those stars are. God is bigger than the universe. But then God is not physical. But here God has become a human being in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why on earth would he do such a thing? And it's difficult to grasp, and that's why we need what God has told us in the scriptures. And you listen to many people speaking today. There was a man on the radio I listened to briefly this morning, and he was saying, isn't it lovely? And he quoted a bit of scripture. But it was interesting that it was a truncated piece of scripture. He did not quote all of the passage. And I thought, why has he left that out? And I think, I know why he left it out, because he doesn't believe what that portion of scripture says. And so he deliberately left out the important part because he didn't subscribe to it. Why did Jesus come? God comes into the world. Why does God come into the world? And we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to deliver us from sin. Now this is where I have to have a quick check on the... Oh, isn't technology wonderful? One Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is talking about himself, and you get the impression from listening to some people that Paul was this proud, boastful man. Well, yes, he was once, but listen to this. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Other translations say, of whom I am the chief. John Bunyan disagreed. John Bunyan wrote a book about grace abounding to the chief of sinners, and he was talking about himself. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is saying, this is what I was like. I was this objectionable, horrible person. I opposed what God said. But God, in mercy, forgave me. Even though I was the greatest of all sinners, God save me. Why did God save him? Because he was special? Because he was such a wonderful person? Well, no, because he says he's not a wonderful person. He says it's in spite of who he was, in spite of what he was like, God saved him. God came into the world. God in Christ came into the world to save sinners like him, like us. This is one of the things that people don't like to consider, that they are sinners. And when you use a word like sin, people draw conclusions, they make assumptions. They think, oh yes, I know people are sinners, I see them on the news. People that, they get sentenced to prison for X number of years, but really they should be thrown in, lock the door, and throw the key away. These people are so wicked and evil and immoral. Interestingly, these are terms that have no meaning if you're an atheist, because what is good? What is bad? These terms have no meaning if there is no God. But God has established what is good and what is bad, and he's told us, he's revealed it to us, and it's because we fail to do the good that God has directed us to do, and we find it so easy to do the bad that God has told us not to do, that is what constitutes us sinners. People still think, oh, but I'm not a sinner. God will judge us according to his law, but he will also judge us according to our law. So when we criticize other people, and when we say, that's wrong, and the next day we do the same thing, we have condemned ourselves. We've already said it's wrong for someone else to do it, so it must be wrong for me to do it. So if I condemn someone else for doing that thing, I must then condemn myself for doing it. And I might not physically go out and do the thing I'm condemning, but I think about it and I dwell upon it and I think, oh, I'd love to stick a knife in that person, but I know I'd never get away with it, so I won't. But I'd really love to. You see someone driving a big car and you think, I wish I had that car. Oh, I'd love to just go and take their keys and drive it off and have it for myself. You don't actually do it, but you're thinking about it. The thought is there, the desire is there. And I'm sure you can think of lots of things where you have thought things, you'd never dream of doing it. But you think about it, you think, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And if you saw someone else doing the things you're thinking about, you say, that's wrong. So it's wrong for you to think about it as well. So you are a sinner. You might not be as bad a sinner as some other people. You might not be as disgusting in your behaviour as some other people. But you're still a sinner. All of us are. And for some of us, it's hard to get to grips with. I won't bore you with the details of how I became aware that I was a sinner 41 years ago. And it was a very unpleasant experience. It was agonizing. And I kept begging God to forgive me. Because I'd stop doing this and I'd stop doing that. But I'd start doing this and I'd start doing that. And you know how it is that so often people make promises, oh God, if you deliver me from this situation, then I'll do this for the rest of my life. And they get out of the situation and they forget all the promises that they made. In my case, I ran out of things to give up. And I ran out of things to do and I couldn't think of anything. So I just threw myself on God's mercy and said, God, please just forgive me. Because I know that I am wrong. The amazing thing is that God did. And it was the most amazing experience of my life to know not only that I'd been forgiven, but that I was an object of God's love. And I understood the reason then why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world to save sinners just like me. And God had saved me. And so therefore, as we think about what God has done in Christ, in sending him into the world in order that we might be forgiven, we should be thankful, as Paul has it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. He says, and the pages always seem to get stuck together, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. There are homes today where a child has received a present. It's a magnificent present. It comes in a beautiful box with a great big bow on it. And when the child gets the outer wrapping off and sees what it is, and its eyes are almost popping out of its head, and it thinks, oh, this is wonderful. Opens the box, gets the toy out, starts to play with it. And by the middle of the afternoon, you find that the child is sitting in the box, playing with the box. And the box is more fun than the toy that was in the box. We don't respond to the gifts that are given to us in the way that we should, in expressing gratitude to those who have given them to us. But God has given us this inexpressible gift of the Lord Jesus Christ sent into the world for us that we might be forgiven. And it's because of his death on the cross that we are able to be forgiven, because our sin was punished in him. We don't deserve this. It's grace. It's mercy. There are people who say, it's not fair that God does this, that, or the other. Excuse me, what do you mean not fair? What will be fair is we're all shunted off to be punished for our sins immediately. The very fact we're still alive shows that God is merciful to us. But how much more merciful is God to us in that he sent his Son to die for our sins in order that we might be forgiven? And there's no basis of boasting or complaint. God is gracious and kind and freely offers to everyone that if they repent and believe, they will be forgiven. And the amazing thing is, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, and he stresses this point, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this faith, this is not your own doing. It's not that you sat there and you thought, I am going to have faith. Perhaps you would think of it in another way. I'm going to have faith and I'm going to do that by climbing a mountain, by swimming the channel, by... There's all sorts of strange things people think. They can get faith by doing something. But faith is basically just trusting. When you sat down on that pew, you put your trust in the pew. You did not think to yourself, probably not do too much, just in case. But you trusted it. I trust this enough so I can actually take my feet off the ground, like so. Bears my weight. I trust it. I trust it on the basis that for the last 23 years when I've done strange things with this, or any of the other pews, they've taken it. Based on experience, I know. And so I trust. I give myself, metaphorically, into the hands of the pew. I trust it's going to bear my weight. Similarly with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust in Christ, it's not what we do. We trust. We depend on. We rely on. We surrender ourselves to him and submit to him. And so it is by faith And faith is not our own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. God saves us on the basis of his grace, not on the basis of what we do. And so none of us can say, I had my sins forgiven. Aren't I wonderful that God should do this? The Bible says, if that's what you think, then you probably haven't been forgiven. The person who is truly forgiven says, I've been forgiven. I don't know why. I can't understand why God would have anything to do with me. But he has, and it's wonderful. Isn't God good? And as we think of God sending the Lord Jesus into the world, sending him first as a child who grew to manhood and then died on the cross, as we think about this, we can understand Paul saying, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We cannot find the words to express our gratitude to God. Are you grateful to God for what he's done in sending the Lord Jesus? Do you know that greatest of all gifts, the forgiveness of your sins in your heart? Do you have a great hope of heaven to come? This is all part of the reasons why the Lord Jesus came into the world, in order to save sinners like us. We can all know the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did. Let's hope that at this Christmas time we all know and experience and enjoy that greatest of all gifts.